What's up, Internet? You're tuned to episode 118 of Nintendo Noise, Slipscreen Games' weekly Nintendo podcast. I'm your host, Pete Messi, joined as always by my very good friends and co-hosts, Mr. Steven Radford.
Hello, hello.
And Miss Sierra Plus Ultra.
Sup?
Yo, we're back. I think it's been a minute since the three of us have done a show together.
You're
huh?
So back.
Yeah, good while, you know. Sierra's been off making new singles and stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah, so I know we've had it in the description the last couple of weeks, and we've talked about it. But Sierra, why don't you give the folks a reminder about Darting Eyes?
Oh, thank you. My band released a new single called Darting Eyes on November 15th. So if you like noodly, shreddy, post-hardcore music, singing and screaming, it might be for you. It's also inspired by the anime Fire Force, if that might be up your alley. So definitely check it out if you get a moment.
It's a really, really good song. I've listened to it a ton, and I will just share this with you, Sierra. I wanted to share this with you on air. There was a point where I had pulled up one of the one of the stories that you guys put out or something, and Sarah like heard the screaming and was like, "Holy shit!" I was like, "Yeah, that's Sierra," and she goes, "What? Whoa! Like, that's so good!
I love that surprise!"
Yeah. So definitely, everybody, go make sure you go check it out. Go show With Sales Ahead some love and. Yeah, go check out the work and be excited for the next one because it's right around the corner. Of course. So, speaking of right around the corner, is Mario Kart's next iteration right around the corner? Because, of course, just, 2 weeks ago, we got the last drop of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe DLC, a piece of content 10 years in the making somehow. We are finally done with the waves here. And now there are rumors swirling about what comes next. So I thought, let's take the opportunity. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, what we've gotten here with Mario Kart 8 now that it is seemingly finally winding down. It's insane run of like 10 years on the market and being an absolute gangbuster seller the entire time. And then we can, you know, pull out the roadmap and look ahead and see what we think the future might look like here. But I'm gonna start things off with a question from Sierra from the Discord, who wrote in and said, "What are y'all's overall impressions of the Mario Kart 8 DLC now that it's over? What were your favorite additions, and what do you feel, if anything, it's missing? Do you think they'll move straight on to 9 or squeeze every last drop they can out of Mario Kart 8?" So Sierra, let's start with you. I know you said you got a chance to play the most recent batch here, and yes. I'm interested to hear what you think.
So out of this most recent batch, there are a couple that like really kicked my ass, like tracks, the Bowser's Castle one and the DK Mountain from Double Dash. Those are probably my favorites, but also like I lost so hard. They're so challenging. A lot of hairpin turns and stuff that drove me insane. But this is a good batch, I think, to wrap up all the DLC. And then the tour stuff, I have such a weird love-hate relationship with. On one hand, it's like, oh, it's so fun. They got the fountain guy in there from Rome. And then, like, all the landmarks, you kind of see them as you're driving around. But, like, they're also really distracting. And then, like, I think Shui said this in the group chat, that, like, the tracks are just not linear in a way that like you can really work with or predict, like on your first couple go rounds. Like it takes a lot of getting used to. Otherwise, big fan. There are some people who really hate the tour tracks. I'm not quite there, but you know, they're quirky to me. And
I like them more than I don't. Like I think it's fun that those like tracks are not, you know, just kind of trapped on this mobile game that, you know, like your mileage may vary. Some people like it, obviously, but, you know, I don't know. I guess I get the criticism at some points, but like, I generally think they're more fun. It's more fun that they're here than they're not, I guess.
Yeah. I guess you're trying to be a sweat. They can be annoying, but
sure.
A lot of people just play the game to race cars. So, you know, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I was always just the race cars, but I'm not picking any of those tracks when I'm voting. Like, it's just not going to happen. I'm picking the ones I know. I'm glad to see some more Wii tracks in the new wave. I used to love Maple Tree Way. on the Wii. It's one of my favorites.
They got another Rainbow Road in there too.
Yeah,
I can't believe that. That's ridiculous at this point. Like it's like Rainbow Road the game. I think there's one in every wave, wasn't there? Rainbow Road or something like that.
Is that true?
Like there's six of them.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like crazy how many there are.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they got to get everyone in. You know.
Yeah, there's like they added two new ones, and there were four already in the game, which is just crazy.
Look at all the different options, all the different ways you can lose. Fall to your death.
my favorite Rainbow Road was the N64 one, though.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah, that's, and I think there's like a nostalgic factor for me there for sure, but like that's my favorite one, too.
It must be an age thing. I'm sure there's people probably. Who are listening and they're like, yeah, no, the Wii one's the best.
Yeah,
one.
I'm sure. Right? Yeah, I would imagine that's the case. I do think it's hilarious, like their dedication to that bit, to be like, we'll make a new one every time, we're going to put all of them in this game is so funny to me.
Yeah, do them all. Why pick?
Yeah, right? Don't exactly. Pick. Let everybody have their favorite, right? Every track is here.
Everybody's here.
So in terms of favorite editions, and I guess like the other part of the question, if there's anything that's missing, like I feel like for me a lot of the courses I care about are here at this point, right? Like I can't think of any real big highlights that I felt like we were missing out on. I think Steve, I remember Coconut Mall was like one of your favorites.
That was my favorite,
forever. And it finally came.
I was really happy.
I screamed on the review.
Yeah, I was so excited about that. I don't know. I kind of wish that we'd have got new courses here. I know that wasn't their intention. We got one new course, right? The Yoshi's Island in the Fruit Cup, in Wave 4. But I don't think we really got. I don't think they were up the quality that the Wii U DLC was. When we got the Animal Crossing track,
I think that's fair to say.
I feel like they were kind of a tier above these tracks, which are just ports from the mobile game, for the most part, I think.
Well, and then like random ones from other games that hadn't made the cut yet, mm-hmm. right? Which is cool. Like, I think that's good content, but I'm kind of inclined to agree with you where like I think the original wave of DLC for Mario Kart 8 was like it felt so incredible because it's like, oh my god, what, they're adding Link, they're adding the Animal Crossing,
yeah, you got the Hyrule Castle one in there, didn't you? That was really cool, and they were so custom, like you were picking up rupees or you're picking up bells on the Animal Crossing one. They felt really unique. They were really cool.
Yeah, and the seasons changed, like,
oh yeah. That's such a good track.
It's one of my favorites.
I would have loved something like that. Right. Like if we got even one extra, like, oh, hey, you know, like maybe we added Captain Falcon. Right. Because there's already the big blue course, or like we added, you know, I don't know, some other character that like, or like when they did the F-Zero 99 thing, they could have done like, hey, we're adding another F-Zero track and Captain Falcon's a new character. Right. And like just something little like that, that maybe made it feel like it was as much of an event as the first round of DLC. But I guess there's an argument to be made that the fact that it exists at all. Is like a huge event.
That's crazy. Like, yeah.
Who would have expected, but, right?
Yeah, this is like their best-selling game of all time, and I think what I would have liked is tracks based on IP or games or things that came after Mario Kart. Like a Splatoon themed track would be really cool. Like bring one of the levels, maybe it changes, maybe the colors change. There's so much to do with like the ink. There would have been cool. You could have done like an arms thing, but maybe they want to forget that arms existed.
You need to take a shot at arms like that. Arms is doing poorly enough on its own.
or like a Labo thing, right? Because they even added in like the VR support for the Labo goggles thing that they did. Like something like cardboard themed would have been cool. Or like the Woolly World theme would have been cool. Mm. Something a little bit more creative. Yeah, like a Metroid thing.
Oh, something Paper Mario would have been so sick.
Yeah. Or like, again, right? Like there was the Mario movie. There's like Mario RPG. Like you knew those things were coming out, you know, when you know, set out that roadmap. Like you could have had cool moments like that. And I think that's something that like I would love to see Nintendo do a better job of moving forward, where like something like, you know, like you got to imagine what comes next, right? Mario Kart 9, whatever you want to call it, is probably going to go on to become one of their best selling games again, because Mario Kart is Mario Kart. And like, it would be cool to see them use that as more of a promotional tool and try to drive people towards like some of the other games that maybe are not going to get as much attention, you know, like putting a character from one of those games in Mario Kart, or, you know, maybe making like a level based on it, or something that you can kind of create this inroad and hopefully get people to be like, oh, what's that?
They did that with Smash, right? All the season passes seem to like coincide with like a game release, starting with the Joker.
They would do like the sticker releases too, right? Where it's like you'd have those like events where you could go and do the new challenges and everything.
Yeah, so it's kind of a shame that they've not done that. But you know, this might not be the end of it. I kind of think it is, but maybe we'll see more. Who knows? Like I didn't think we were going to get this DLC to begin with.
Well, I guess that's the last part of the question, right? Like, do you think the next thing we get is more Mario Kart, or do you think that there's going to be more MK8 content? I feel like it's probably done, and I think that that's probably for a few reasons. There's a rumor we'll talk about in a minute here where that, you know, claims that Mario Kart's next iteration is around the corner and that it's been in development for a long time, which is believable. But I think the other thing that is interesting is that for the first time since 2017, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe was not one of the top 20 best-selling games in the United States last month. And it's like, that's not, you know, whatever, right? Like, it's like,
yeah,
it's 2017. They're still happy with that. I'm sure it's still sold pretty well by most games metrics. But I think it does speak to the fact that the insane juggernaut that it is, right? It's like, it has to end at some point. And, you know, two full console generations of this being a best-selling game, a system seller for a lot of folks, right? There's that Black Friday bundle you can buy again this year. It's probably time, right? Like, we got through two more waves of DLC. I think they've wrung more blood out of this stone than anyone could have reasonably expected. But like, what else do you do, right? I think we're ready for something new. And I'm sure that for how long that they've, you know, probably had that game in development, right? Like, or at least kicking around, they got to be ready to release something new too, you imagine.
I wonder if Mario Kart 8 is still in the top 20, but Nintendo never report the digital sales figures to Circana, formerly MPD. And I wonder if that just is the retail sales and people aren't buying the retail version, or they're buying the bundle that comes with the digital copy of the game. So technically they are downloading it, because it's always in the charts. Whenever I open the eShop, it's always up there. And I'm always surprised by how many people are still buying this game. I'd have thought that everyone who wanted it would have owned it by now, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, you would think, right? Like, it's like the attachment rate on the thing has to be insane at this point. But yeah, I mean, I think it also just speaks to like how many people are still buying a Switch, right? And getting a copy of it now, right? It's going to just keep happening. So I'm inclined to think that the next thing is going to be something new, right?
And it's going to be something fresh, because there's only so much they can do. Like with Mario Kart 8, they added like the gravity stuff in, right? That was the unique thing that you can like go up on the walls and like on the sides and stuff. What do they do next? Like what is there new that they can do? We've seemingly got every single course they've ever made that anyone wants in Mario Kart 8. What's the incentive for me to buy the next Mario Kart?
Right.
I mean, I think they're going to have to. It's pretty similar to the conversation Sierra and I had about Smash, like, what, 2 weeks ago now. I think it's going to have to be like a big swing. You know, like they're going to have to do something different, because I think scaling back is really probably not an option, because I don't know. You like, kart racers are already simple, right? So it's like, you can't make it, if you try to make it more mechanically complex, you remove what about it makes it the best-selling Nintendo game, right? Which is that anybody can play it and it's fun even if you suck. So like, I think it's going to have to be a gimmick. It's going to have to be like a double dash type thing, if I'm guessing, right? Because I don't know what else you do aside from just leaning into being like, okay, this is Mario Kart X. It's going to have every track that we put in 8 and all that content is there. And now there's twice as much, right? Like we made 40 new tracks. There's all these new characters, or maybe they do like blow it up and do like a more Nintendo Kart thing and bring in characters from other franchises.
We could try that, you know, maybe the X is like a cross for a crossover thing. It could be that, rather, or it could mean 10, which it probably does. Because I think they consider Mario Kart Tour to be Mario Kart 9.
It could be both, right? It could be 10, but they're also it's also cross because it's the crossover one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that'd be cool. Like, do a Smash, bring in, even outside of Nintendo's franchises, let's get a Persona-themed course where I can ride around it as Joker and I can do unique things. I think that would be really cool. Maybe that's an angle they go down. Like, each of the races has something unique and you pick them. And it gives them like an angle, because at the moment it's like these ones are the light ones, these are the middle ones, and these are the heavy ones, and that's really kind of the only difference between the characters,
right?
Yeah, maybe they all have different like abilities and shit like that. So on top of the items, you can get like certain characters can make the whole track, like Inkling can turn the whole track into like fucking like Squid Ink or some shit, or like I don't know. Waluigi is
or maybe
just there.
Maybe like Inkling could like go into the ground, like
that's way more clever. just something crazy like that.
You use something like that as like a dodge, right? It's like, oh, there's a blue shell coming, and you use the Inkling's ability, and it's like maybe you can only use it like once a race, or there's like a cooldown or something like that.
Yeah,
I could see something like that. Or if you did do something like Double Dash and there were like character abilities, like it could be like about like synergy, right? Like it's like, oh, I picked this character because they have this ability and I picked this one because they're heavy, so they're fast. And like, I think something that like maybe adds some level of min-maxing to it so that you can have that added layer of depth, but hopefully like not make it crazy, you know, to the point where it's like something that is alienating to new players.
Yeah, as long as I can still pick Kirby and just slam the button, I'm fine. That's all I know how to do in Smash.
I think there's a reason they didn't release another one on the Switch, right? Like, it's like, how do you...
I don't think they needed to anyway. Like, why are you going to invest that much money in making a brand new game when you can just release the same one you did on the Wii? And everyone's the Wii U, and everyone's going to buy it anyway. And then,
and like, how many people had a Wii U, right? So it's for a lot of people, it was new.
Completely missed it. Oh, look at this new Mario Kart game.
it's brand new to me. So let's talk a little bit about the brand new Mario game. Mario Kart, excuse me. Because there is a rumor about Mario Kart X, I guess is what we're calling it. And it is interesting because, you know, when it comes to rumors and stuff like this, whether or not we report on them is very dependent on like what the source is and, you know, like how much of a grain of salt we feel like we need you to take with it. And this is an interesting one because it comes from a leaker who goes by Zippo, who you may remember because he's gotten a couple, or I should say they got a couple correct leaks in the past, some of which were definitely very oddball things. Like the biggest one is everybody's 1-2 switch, right? I think when it comes to somebody predicting things like there will be a new Mario game or there will be a new, you know, it's like you say some of those things enough, you're going to get one of them right. And anybody can look like they knew something if they play their cards right, right? That's the kind of thing where like nobody thought that we were getting a sequel to 1-2 switch, right? And the fact that it came out to be what it was and that so many of those details were spot on, it's lended some credence to Zippo, right? There's also been Metroid Dread and Fire Emblem elements of those games were reported ahead of time, but then there are also certain things, right, where they were one of the people involved with spreading the new 3D Donkey Kong game rumor, which Steve, you and I have talked about for years now, right? Still no sign of that. So does that mean that that was incorrect? Did it get canceled? Has it been delayed? Who's to say, right?
It could be any of those, right? Because we saw that with the Metroid Prime trilogy remaster thing. Turns out they were taking a different approach. Maybe they did do the trilogy first and then they kind of doubled back and were just like, no, we're gonna with the Metroid Prime 4 reboot, maybe they readjusted their plans, and that could have been the same thing with the Donkey Kong game. It might just be that it wasn't fun and they've gone back to the drawing board.
Right. Yeah. Or that it's just still in active development, right? Because when the rumor originally debuted was back in, like, I want to say 2018, maybe 2019. Games take a long time to develop. Breath of the Wild was in development for 6 years, right? 6+ years. So the idea that just because we haven't seen it doesn't mean it's not real, right? So with that in mind, right, this is what Zippo is reporting. So take it with a grain of salt. It's a rumor right now, but this seems to be one of those ones where at least some of it you can probably take to the bank, right? So what we know is that the game is being called Mario Kart X, and the claim is that it will be out in 2025. And, you know, as part of Zippo's claims, right, why it's called Mario Kart X is not something that we know yet, right? I think there's the point that you made there, Steve, that maybe they look at Tour is 9. This is the 10th Mario Kart game. So we're, you know, jumping ahead a number ostensibly, but reasonable enough. But that this would be released during the second year of the Switch's life cycle, which, you know, based on what we've heard, based on what we're predicting and seeming to think right now, that's all in line, right? New Switch is next year. Mario Kart is maybe one of the first big games we get of its second year on the market. Fair enough. So
2025 is also the like 40-year anniversary of Mario. So it would make sense it would make sense that it would come out that year. And I'd imagine we'll probably have a lot of Mario in 2025. Yeah. We know we've got the Peach game next year, but when what's next for Mario? Are we going to get the sequel to Odyssey or the next 3D Mario? Is it going to be another 2D Mario? That looks like Mario Kart X is coming out that year as well. So 2025 would probably make sense for the release of Mario Kart.
Damn, you could like theoretically have the second movie ready by then too, right? I mean,
yeah.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
That timing lines up pretty well. It's interesting. That's an interesting one. So what else we know is that it'll be developed by Nintendo EPD Production Group 9, which is the same team that worked on Mario Kart 8, and that they're going to be getting some additional help from Bandai Namco, who themselves opened a new studio that is specifically exists to work with outside companies, primarily Nintendo, right? That association between the two of them has only been on the rise over the Switch generation, and we saw them help with Smash. We saw them work on, you know, stuff like Pokken. So Metroid Prime 4, true. So not surprising to see that that they're gonna get their hands wet involved in this one as well. So this was the part I found most interesting. Zippo says that Nintendo is, quote, sparing absolutely no expense with this game, and it will be one of the most expensive games that Nintendo has ever produced. Makes sense, though, right? When you think about it, it's a sequel to maybe their best-selling game of all time, right? I'm not sure off the top of my head, but definitely the best-selling game on the Switch. Absolute, you know, gangbuster that has sold for them for a decade now. Yeah, makes sense that you want to invest your money and try to make another one of those that'll last for another 10 years and make that same return, right?
Yeah.
It would make sense. I mean, I'd love to see them go the live service route with this. Like, I'd love to see them go the live service route with a bunch of their games. But I mean, they kind of sort of did, right? The DLC sort of is a live service. You subscribe to Switch Online and you get access to all of the waves of the tracks.
I think if they just took that model and made it just go forever,
yeah,
be the thing, right? It comes out the second year of the Switch life cycle, and there's a season pass for it every year until the next Mario Kart. That would be the move, right?
Yeah. And rather than all tracks, can be new characters, could be maybe new modes, like let's improve on the battle mode, let's add in maybe a double dash mode or whatever else they've kind of got cooking.
Yeah.
I think that would be...
That could be like a pack every... For the year, right? Like it's like you pay for the one and there's four drops. You get one in the...
Or
it's
a reason for you to subscribe to the Switch Online expansion pack. Yeah. So you're locked in every single year, just continually paying them.
Yeah, I wonder if it means like shortly after the release that they're going to be ready to start pumping new content into it to retain like players and stuff.
Yeah, and it's like when you think about how good it sells, right? Like that... I mean, so this game, right, is the best-selling game on the console. It's been a top 20 seller for 70 some odd months or something like that. When you think about, you know, that install base, right? If you could sell them a $10 or a $20 DLC every single year, that's a lot of money, you know? And it's like, if you assume that it's going to sell on a similar trajectory over the course of that next console's life cycle, it's not only, okay, this has become the best-selling game on the platform again, right? And it makes its money back and then some that way. But if half of those people buy that DLC every year, that's the third of a cost of a new game that you're getting just for, you know, theoretically, right? Like pushing out, well, like four tracks and four characters or whatever a year. Like, that's a really good return on investment for a game that's already done, right? Like, especially if you've got Namco Bandai supporting and they can just spin out.
Well, can you imagine if you can use the same models for like Smash? Bandai Namco's helping with Smash, so that's like, get them to make a model that works in Smash, but then we can also use that in Mario Kart and we can kind of make it one thing. I think there's probably something there in terms of live service. Here in this news, though, the most expensive of all time, that's going to look absolutely like dropping, and this, you know, the game's visual fidelity is meant to be a very high priority. I assumed, and maybe this was, you know, maybe this is a naive view, that it was going to be a cross-platform game, and they were going to do the, do you really want to leave 150, 160 million Switch install base behind when you make a new Mario Kart?
I think you do, though, because you already got their money. They bought Mario Kart 8, right? Like, it's like, do you need to sell them enough? I think what you do is you put that out and you go, hey, if there's anything that's going to convince you to move over to the next console, it's the sequel to the most popular game on the first one, right? Mm. It's a great way to sell the message of like, oh, it's time for an upgrade, right?
Oh, yeah. And you see how much better it looks based on what you've been playing for the last 10 years. Now the next one looks insane. It looks like you're playing a movie on your screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, right, you tie that into, you know, there, according to Zippo, right, there's going to be a 3D Mario game the year before at launch. You're going to maybe have that movie coming up around then. Like, it's like, we're like, Mario's, it's firing on all cylinders right now, the Mario machine, right? So it's like the idea that, you know, they could, continue that momentum, and not just the momentum that Mario Kart 8 has, but the momentum that brand has overall right now, and push that into a, you know, another bestseller is like, I think totally reasonable, especially if they've been investing a ton of time and money into it, right? Like, they've had ostensibly 10 years to come up with what's next. So I imagine that they have that answer pretty well figured out.
I also wonder, like, I hope this is like incentive for them to be more creative with tracks, or like you said earlier, Steve, like dip into like other IP that's like out on Nintendo. Can we get like a Metroid track? Can we get like Pokemon finally? It's weird. It's not too weird that these are not things in these games, but clearly we've seen that like, they're like trying to branch out, like with Zelda and Animal Crossing. So more Nintendo titles.
I thought we would have, though. Like, we've got you can play as Splatoon races. There's like, if you can like get the suit, the Splatoon suit, but only a Mii character if you want to, if you scan those amiibo in. I don't think having like a Samus in there, like probably a Zero Suit Samus, where there's a course that goes with that. I don't think that's too far of a stretch. And I don't think you switch over to like a Nintendo Kart name, because I think the Mario Kart brand.
No, you keep the Mario Kart brand.
Yeah, I think it works.
Those characters. Honestly, I think that you say that, Steve, right? Like, I'm kind of surprised that they haven't done more with that. I wonder if that's because that's what they're doing for the next one, and that like they don't want to play that card too soon, right? Because it's like, okay, yeah, we teased you with Link and Animal Crossing and, you know, these other there's, like we said, there's like the F-Zero level and stuff like that. They teased you with the crossovers in that game, but maybe this is the game where it's like, look, this is the thing, right? And it's like, you're gonna have Link on the box, you're gonna, you know, lean into it and make it more of a Smash style deal, right? But obviously you're not getting rid of that branding, right? But yeah, I mean, I that to me seems like the easiest answer, right? For like, what do you do next? How do you blow it out and make it bigger and more exciting again? I think that's an easy win, right? To be like, who's your favorite Nintendo character? They're in the game now and they have five levels, right? There's four Kirby levels or something, you know, like, and that could be an easy way to inject a ton of new personality into new courses. And instead of being like, we got to come up with 30 new Mario race, like when there's already 100 of them, like, oh yeah, make two or three from Kirby, two or three from, you know, Metroid, two or three from this. And then just
please,
bring...
Please, not everyone being a Fire Emblem character like it is in Smash.
That card doesn't work on this game. It'd be okay.
Yeah, please, no.
But I think you do that, and then, like, you just bring all the, like, every Mario Kart 8 level, port it over, right? And then you've got a huge amount of content, and, like, you know, bigger and better is achieved. I don't know where you go from there, but... That's the problem.
That's when the live service comes in. Like that. That's when you don't need to go anywhere from there once it becomes a live service game. And I think you amp it up with competitions. We do something like they do with the Splatfest, where it's like maybe you team up and there's some kind of incentive to keep coming back and playing. Maybe you get like unique stuff, like costumes and things. There's so many reasons that you could come back and keep playing. And they've never really kind of capitalized on it with Mario Kart.
That's interesting because I think I can see it following a similar trajectory to what they did with Mortal Kombat 1 this year with their season pass, where there's a like the live service element of like playing online, right? And like getting into competitive and ranking and all that. But then there's also a single player mode where there's a season that you can play every year, or I'm sorry, every, you know, month or whatever it is that the new season starts. And they have like cosmetic stuff like you would get in like Fortnite or like multiverses before that shut down. And you could do the whole like, okay, like if you go and like you finish X amount of cups in single player or whatever, you'll unlock exclusive skins that only come out during this season, right? And you could get, you know, like some of the like cool alternate skins that like we appreciate in Smash, right? And it could be like, oh, like Samus is the main racer and there's a Zero Suit Samus skin, right? Or like you get Luigi as the main racer, and then you get that one weird skin that's the color scheme from like the cartoon, right? Like little things like that. Or like when the movie comes out, right? Oh, it's like a movie tie-in and it looks more like the models from the movies or whatever, right? Something like that. And that could be an easy way to keep people engaged outside of always having it to be like new content, right? You could have dailies and stuff like that where it's like, race with this character, right? Do this cup, like, race a certain amount of distance or something like that and give people reasons to come back and like be constantly unlocking new things and staying engaged, you know?
God, I hope so. I really hope next generation is the generation Nintendo figures out this stuff. Because
being online?
Because Splatoon 3 could have been it, but it was not.
No. Yeah.
It's going to be like achievements and trophies like on PlayStation and like, just
that
like in general.
Yeah.
Right?
God damn
it. Four generations later, that would be super cool.
Yeah.
Something, right? Like, I think that it's a shame because Nintendo games do such a good job of building communities around them, and Nintendo does nothing to capitalize or encourage that, right? And it's, so much of it is, like, this independent online, you're on Discord, you're on this, you're on that. And it's like, I mean, that's all great, but it would be cool to have more of some of those things we've come to expect in these other games, you know, come in and like breathe new life into these experiences that we know so well, right? Like that would be a total game changer for Mario Kart X, whatever, to have it be a game that never goes away, right? That you're not like, oh yeah, like I'm waiting for the next set of tracks. It's like, there's a new track every month, or there's a new character every month, or there's a new game mode or event or something that gives you the reason to turn it back on and try again.
Those tracks definitely do give you reasons to turn it back on, though, because even with this booster pack, whatever they called them, that kind of gave people the reason to come back to the game. I'd all but stop playing that game, and getting those new tracks and going back and like seeing Coconut Mal in there again for the first time, it was exciting.
Agreed. Yeah, we streamed it for the first time in years because there's new stuff to do, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I get that you can't, like, maybe that's not a thing you can always sustainably do, but there are these other things you can do to, like, you know, keep the game alive and moving and like in the conversation, even if it's not the thing you're playing all the time, right? Some people will, and the folks like us that are maybe looking for new tastes and are, you know, I'll come back when there's a new track. I'll come back when there's a new skin I want to unlock or whatever, right? And then that'll be the thing that gets me back in for a week or two. And then I'll bounce and I'll come back with the next DLC, right? And it is a thing that stays as a part of your appetite and your digest rather than being like, isn't that a great game that I haven't played in 3 years?
What's your like dream course and dream character then? If we do get something in like a crossover in Mario Kart X.
I mean, I think it's maybe an easy answer for me, but I think Sierra hit it for me. It's like, it'd be Pokemon, right? It would be really cool if there was like, you know, a
maybe
level.
It's like the level where you're going through on like the safari and you kind of see them all out and about and stuff.
Yeah, like Safari Zone would be an awesome course idea.
That'd be
or
sick.
Like you could do like one of the big cities, like something like Celadon or like, I forget the name of the one in 5 that's like, the New York City analog or whatever.
Oh, I forget that one too. It's like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's like right on the tip of my tongue. But you could do something like that and have it be like the intro to Detective Pikachu, where it's like you're just driving around a city in the world of Pokemon, and it's like there's just interesting things happening.
Yeah.
I think dynamic events would be something I would like to see too. Like I think of like the level from Mario Kart 64, I think it's Toad's Speedway is what it's called. It's the one where you're on the highway and there's all the different cars and stuff.
Oh, God, yeah, that was a nightmare.
All-timer. I would love to see levels, like, play with that concept in a deeper way where, like, so say it is this Pokemon one, right? It would be really neat if it was, like, there was an element of something that was random. So, like, even if I'm playing a course every time, I don't know what the thing's going to be, right? And like that could be simple cosmetic stuff like the Animal Crossing thing that Sierra mentioned earlier where it's like the seasons change or whatever. But it could also be something where it's like, okay, you're on this Pokemon level and there's a point where you go past the gym and there's like two Pokemon battling and like it's a 50-50 shot which one of them is going to win. And then if this one wins, you have to go down this path. And if this one wins, you got to go down that path. And like just giving you more replayability out of the levels you already have, I think is a thing that they could definitely do to add some depth to.
Yeah.
That would be great. Yeah. About other racing games though, like even dynamic events such as weather, time of day, simple things like that. Just bring that over. Like I want to play the same course, but I want to play it at night and I want to play it when it's raining or I want to play it when it's snowing. And maybe that changes how it feels a little bit.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Okay, to go back to Pokemon real quick. I was literally looking at my Pokemon Snap poster while we were talking about potential courses. Imagine it's like, one of those, I think it's the power plant or it's like the jungle one. If you throw a certain, like, if you throw a fruit at a certain Pokemon, it opens up the track and switches it to like a different area.
That would be so cool.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, like that would be really neat to have like the ability to have like world events that like if you know how to trigger them, maybe you can get a little ahead, right? Or like just, I don't
know.
Rather
than just knowing where the secret like shortcuts are in the map, you're going to know how to kind of unlock them. That would be really cool. Yeah.
And like, and that you can't do it the same way every time. Because, like, it's going to trigger an event, but you don't know what that event is. And, like, if you know all of them, then you can strategize and react and be like, oh, okay, I triggered this event. This is going to be the thing that happens. Like, I just think that would be interesting because then it's, like, every map becomes, like, 5, kind of. Or, like, you know what I mean, right? Like, it gives you that sense of, like, it's not going to just be, I know the angles and I know the spots to get the shortcut, so I'm going to come in first every single time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that would be neat.
And everyone's got a friend who they play with who's like that every single time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, all right, great. You're sweaty. I can't. <believe you." laughs> So, what else? Any other ideas for characters or courses?
I mean, I was looking up the Mario Kart series as to whether we've ever had an external IP in Mario Kart. And the only game
BMW.
That has. It was Mercedes, but apart from that,
right. Whoops.
The only characters that have are Bandai characters in the arcade games.
Oh, Pac-Man and the Ghost.
Yeah,
right?
Pac-Man's there. There's some characters from Taiko no Tatsujin and Tamagotchi as well, apparently, is in Mario Kart GP2. There's precedent there, and like, I guess if Bandai's helping make the game, sneak in some of their characters from some of their games, why not?
Do it.
Yeah, do them all.
Pac-Man course would be so cool.
That would be so fun.
That's a great idea. Like neon. I love that. Yeah.
I would love that.
And like, all of the coins could be the little dots that you pick up, and like, it makes the little like chompy noise that Pac-Man eats them.
Yeah.
That could be like a thing where like the ghosts are chasing you too, and you like have to hit the pellet to like get them to scatter, or like otherwise they like start pulling people off the tracks, and like that could interrupt, like, rather than it being like a blue shell where it's like the first person, it's like it'd be like the first five people like just get pulled off, and then the people behind them get a chance to get ahead. Like, you could have like cool little things like that too. It's interesting. I like it. We got some good ideas here, gang. We got some good ideas. Any other final thoughts on Mario Kart?
I'm excited for it. It's been a while since I've been excited for Mario Kart. And I really am intrigued as to where they go from Mario Kart 8, because there's just so much in there. And I think I'm surprised that it's not the launch title for the next Switch. I'd presumed that Mario Kart would have been out in that first year.
Me too.
The big system seller of your console, get it there for the holiday season in 2024. But it's not. It seems like it's going to be the year.
How is it not done yet, is my thing. Like, how is it? How are we not done with it at this point?
And maybe they are. Maybe this is one that they're holding. Like, you never know with Nintendo. Yeah. I'm also excited the fact that we're getting a 3D Mario next year, if this turns out to be true, because it's been a while since we have. And Odyssey was one of my favorite games on the Switch, and I'd love another one.
I mean, the 2D Mario rumor ended up being true, so I wouldn't probably be surprised. Happening. Right?
I mean, I thought we were going to get new 3D Mario this year, so it's got to be next year.
I thought that made sense, yeah. So, I mean, it's right. I think you're probably right, especially if you have Mario Kart waiting in the wings. It's like, okay, cool. So we can, you know, we had the movie and two major Mario games this year. We get the 3D one next year. We get Mario Kart the following year, maybe the second movie
that year. We got the Peach game next year as well. And, like, what do we do? What else do they do for the 40th anniversary? Do they bring back Super Mario 35 or whatever it was, and they call that Mario 40, and now you're playing with
probably
40 people instead?
Like, probably.
And like, that's just gonna go away, and now here's like 3D All-Stars 2, and it's a limited time only. I hope they do more than just that. I really hope there's something special for the 40th.
Steve, I gotta. Okay, I don't want to get your hopes too high or anything, but I'm going to say this. I think something that would make sense is, because they've had all these Mario games out, and they put the Peach game out, and we put Luigi's Mansion remake out, right, too. Maybe the second movie's about Wario and Waluigi, and maybe we get
correct.
A Wario.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. That'd be wonderful.
Give the people what they want.
Could be. I mean, we know Yoshi is, like, so maybe we're doing Dinosaur Island, who's to say. But, I mean, you could bring a little Wario and Waluigi action in. Maybe we get a Wario game.
I mean, that'd be nice. I don't see that. I kind of see that. I kind of see Wario just being forgotten about, and it's all about Mario that year.
You think so? They put it in one of these movies eventually.
They're just obsessed with WarioWare and not doing anything else with him as a character, and I just find it so odd because he's such a cool character.
That's his niche now.
Yeah, I know. It's a shame.
Oh my god!
I can see it. I kind of have a feeling that the next Mario movie, or the next movie that's not a Mario movie, it's a Princess Peach movie.
Think she gets a spin-off that quickly?
Yeah, I think she gets a spin-off, especially with the spin-off game.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen a lot of girls in Princess Peach costumes this year.
Sure.
So she's having to come up.
And look how well Barbie did as a movie. You gotta look at that and be like, wow, okay, there's space for a Peach game here.
Yes.
Yeah. Peach movie.
But if they do put Wario in, they should cast Danny DeVito as the voice of Wario.
This is the chance. You get
this is our chance, baby. Yeah, I know. You can, Nintendo, you can make up for casting Chris Pratt by doing this one simple thing.
Do the right thing, Nintendo.
Do the right thing. Everyone call your uncle at Nintendo and tell him to do
call
the right
your
thing.
All the senators, people.
Yeah. All the uncles. All the senators.
My uncle is a senator who works at Nintendo, and he told me the next Mario movie is about Wario. You heard it here first, everybody.
What if they make a Mario movie and they just leave Waluigi out? Just that spot.
Oh, but that'd be so evil, but it'd be so in line with everything we've suffered in the last 10 years.
That would be so absolutely funny.
I feel continuing like, I feel the like gag.
I feel like the real question is like, does Nintendo hate Waluigi because he was invented by a Brit? You know?
Was he really?
Yeah. So this is a fun
Oh my God.
So Waluigi's original appearance is in Mario Tennis on the Nintendo 64, which was developed by, I believe the name of the studio is Camelot. You can fact check me on that one. They're a British studio that was a second party partner with Nintendo, and I believe still works with them on some of the sports games to this day. Mm-hmm. And they were working on Mario Tennis 64 on the 64, and they wanted every character to have a doubles partner, and they needed a partner for Mario, so they invented Waluigi.
Okay, fair enough. But if they hate him because of that, what's the deal with loving Diddy Kong so much that was like invented by Rare? Like, come on. I hate Diddy Kong as a character.
whoa, I'm not thinking the Diddy Kong slip.
I love learning new things about you, Diddy Steve. Like I learn new things about my friends all the time. Well, I don't really feel strongly enough about Diddy to really fight you on that. So
I don't have a dog in this race. You two want to argue about this?
I really don't.
It's just I hate him and I hate Scrappy Doo. There's something about like all of those like little spin-off versions of the characters.
Come on, that is so disrespectful.
Well, Scrappy Doo does turn out to be a fucking punk. We all remember the live action movie, right?
Yeah, that dude is. Look, that's what I'm saying. Like, Scrappy Doo sucks. All right, Diddy Kong is delightful. Okay?
That's who he's based on,
according to
the creators of Rare. Yeah, they based Diddy Kong on like Scrappy Doo. Like, That was their like idea behind it.
That's fine. Well, they
it was Scrappy Doo. I never would have made that connection. You're my mom.
Dropping all kinds of knowledge on this one.
Damn, I don't know if I don't think for me Diddy Kong doesn't have Scrappy Doo energy, but I see the parallel for sure.
I think that's probably what they're getting at, right? Is that
he's the cute younger sidekick. Yeah. I'm with
big
you.
Dog, small dog,
but he's
big
not annoying.
Monkey, small monkey,
right? Because Scrappy is annoying. I think Diddy Kong is cute. He's got his cute little Nintendo hat. He's got his little, you know, his little peanut pistols. He's got a jetpack. He's delightful. Come on.
What about all the other Kongs? You know, I think that a lot of those were made by Rare as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They were. Wait, what'd you say Scrappy doesn't have?
Scrappy doesn't have weapons, so Diddy is cooler.
We all know how much Sierra likes
him. And he doesn't have a cool Nintendo hat, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. Come on.
Scrappy-Doo, you gotta get your weapons game up.
Up your game, Scrappy.
Yeah.
Learn Kung Fu.
Only then will you potentially be considered for redemption.
All right. We're going to end it there for today because I can't imagine a more absurd note to end it on. So before we do that, I'm going to remind you that this episode of Nintendo Noise is brought to you by our Patreon producers for the month of November. They are, of course, Arnold J. Rimmer, Christopher Valenz, Earth Visitor, Gabriel Hasselmeyer, a.k.a. Sobe, Pilkey, Snackago, Ty the Dude, and Waka Hula. Thank you all so much for your support over on patreon.com/flipscreengames. You're all the reals to the real, and we greatly appreciate your support of this and all of our sister shows. Remember, if you want to go and show your support just like they did, if you want to write into the show and get your topics and questions right on the air, or if you just want to get involved in the community and keep the conversation rolling between episodes on our Discord, you can head over to flipscreen.games. That's our website where you will find links to all that and much, much more. However you choose to get involved or show your support, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Nintendo Noise. For the crew, I've been Pete, he's been Steve, she's been Sierra. We'll see you next week.